Yo, what's up, brothers? It's your boy, BC Bader. And I want to start off this episode of the Bait Escape saying thank you for hanging in there. I know this episode was to come out last week, but I had some technical difficulties and I thought I'd lost this episode. And lucky for me, I was able to recover it, which is really great because it's a fun one. I also want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. It's coming up really quickly. And as you know, 2020 hasn't been the best year for any of us. And I feel like we ought to take this time to really be thankful and grateful for all the wonderful things that we do have. And one of the things that I'm most grateful for is all of you. So thank you for your continued support of this podcast, of any and all content that I send out to you all. I will continue to do this so long as I'm happy and so long as you are listening. So please enjoy the newest episode of The Bait Escape featuring the Kosher Pig from Twitter.
Hey, what's up, brothers? This is Beastly Bader, and you are back in another episode of the Bait Escape podcast. And today, I have a very special guest with me, someone that I have history with. I want to give a really warm Bader Piggy morning to the Kosher Pig on Twitter.
Good morning.
Good
Thank you for
morning.
having
Of course, I'm so happy that you're able to make this conversation with me. So your handle on Twitter is at the underscore kosher underscore pig. And
Correct.
your name is Kosher Pig. Very
Yep.
cool. So we were just talking this morning about how we know each other. Do you want to tell that story or should I? Or do we not want to talk about that?
Well, I mean, it's how most gay guys kind of know each other these days.
That's
Five
true.
years ago, I think, I was walking home from work in Brooklyn, hoping to blow someone on the way home, and you were that lucky guy.
So lucky. It was good. It was so great. It was so funny how I feel like it's just like a full circle for me because I moved back to LA and I was kind of getting into like the naked Twitter game. And then I believe I saw a video with you and oh God, I forgot his name. He's really popular. I think his name's Tony.
Tony.
Oh man, I think he's in Michigan. I don't know.
Oh, Zaddy problems.
Yeah, daddy problems. Yeah, I was following
Yeah.
him and I was like being like social. And then I saw you and I was like, holy shit, that's that guy. And then I hit you up and I was like, hey, I have this video of you. And you're like, really? And also he's like, you're like, show me. And I was like, yeah, here it is.
And here we are now.
I know. So, where in America are you now currently?
I am living and working socially distant from the world, basically, right outside Yosemite in
That's right.
California.
I've never been to Yosemite. Is it beautiful? Do you like it out there?
It's gorgeous, and it just snowed. We just got our first snowstorm, so everything is just like perfectly snow white. It's great.
I feel like that's one of the things I miss about New York. Like when you would wake up when it first freshly snowed and it was like beautiful and white and gorgeous. And then I would leave work and it was just like brown slush everywhere.
Oh yeah, no, in Brooklyn it was gross. Like after a day, the snow would just be nasty and it's always in your way in the subway. No, I mean like the first snow is great.
Yeah.
And you hate it.
Yeah, and then it's getting really cold and stuff. I mean, it's getting cold now, which is nice. I like it, but I feel like I'm more used to like California cold versus the fucking NYC cold was just like nuts.
It gets to your bones.
Do you miss NYC?
No.
Really? How long had you been in NYC before I knew you? Like before we met?
Well, we met what, 5 years ago, 4 years ago?
Oh man, I want to say that because I left NY like 2015, 14, 15, yeah, 15.
Okay. So, yeah.
So it's probably that year that I left, or
That
maybe
you
like,
left.
yeah.
Well, I lived in New York almost 10 years, like 9 years.
Oh wow, okay, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Especially for New York, because I feel like New York time is like compacted somehow. It feels so much shorter than what it actually is.
100%. Yeah, no, I spent the vast majority of my 20s in New York.
Yeah.
The night I turned 30, I decided that it's time to move on. and spend my 30s elsewhere. And I'm super happy about it. Don't miss it. Don't want it right now again.
Yeah. What's life been like for you since we've last chatted? Like what's the adventure like for you?
I mean, leaving New York started as a 3-month road trip to California.
That's cool.
But that morphed into almost 2 years of a road trip.
That's fucking cool. Where'd you go in those 2 years?
Everywhere. I bought a car leaving New York. I was just like, all right, I'm going to slowly drive to California, see what I see, stop on the way, visit some friends, suck some dicks. And it just became
beautiful.
Too much fun to stop. Basically, I got to my destination 3 times and just kept going. Mm-hmm. And eventually the one thing that stopped me was obviously COVID.
Yeah. when did you start like your Twitter and stuff? I feel like maybe that was like the beginnings of your road tripping.
Twitter is the beginning of my professional porn career. Yeah. Or that move. Yeah. Well, so that ties again to leaving New York. Mm-hmm. I was very, very broke, needing to pay a lot of rent money, which I could not get usually. Mm-hmm. So I started doing porn, professional porn, which was not for me. Mm-hmm. But a co-star of mine was like, if you want to get big in this industry, you need Twitter. Mm. That's where professional porn lived. Tumblr was still like the big amateur site. Twitter was very much professional and a lot of straights mostly.
Yeah.
But they were like, if you want to get big, you need studios to notice you. You need a following. Start at Twitter. And from there, it kind of rolls on. Mm. So I started at Twitter and it was fine, I guess. I obviously enjoy the likes and the retweets and all that. It's superficial and silly, but it's a feel good, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I feel like when we met, I feel like you had that kind of like that fun sexual energy. So when I did discover you on Twitter, like it wasn't that big of a shock to me. I was just like, oh yeah, I could see him doing this. Cause when we did hook up, like you just had that fun energy around you.
Yeah. And like, that's why it was easy for me to get into professional porn. I was already kind of doing nightlife and naked stuff. And my face was out there and I was out there, especially living in Brooklyn in that gay bubble that a lot of us were in.
Totally.
Sex videos were almost like a currency to communicate with others. You had to show and they would show. It was just like, it was you, not that you needed it, but it wasn't out of the ordinary. And for me, it was fun. I was always down to make a video, to take a picture, especially if it's cool, especially if it's interesting. And yeah, so the transition to porn and to Twitter and to amateur porn and OnlyFans and all that was kind of easy.
Yeah, is that something that you're still continuing to do to this day?
The OnlyFans is up, but it's open and free. Okay. And it don't update much anymore. Mostly because since COVID and moving out to Yosemite area, I just don't have as many sexual partners as I usually have.
Yeah, I feel like that's happened to a lot of people these days.
Yeah, and that's totally fine, and I'm okay with it, and I'm excited for this new life chapter. But since I'm not uploading, I don't feel like charging, so it's just open, and people who want to masturbate can go at it.
Well, as Bader, as my fellow Baders, we thank you.
Yeah,
we love porn.
Right, and me too, and that's, and like, I love porn. I was excited to be part of porn, so I'm happy to give it. I don't think it, I think the monetization and commoditization of porn is kind of unfortunate.
Yeah. I feel like also too, like it's so saturated.
Yeah.
Which has like its advantages and disadvantages. So for example, if you're trying to get into the game and like be like, hey, I love to show off, I think I'm really sexy, there's a market for anyone to do what they need to do. Just be forewarned that there's so much out there. And I know that when I first started doing it, I was just like, oh, like it took me a while to begin to understand, like, oh shit, like this is a lot. I don't know what I'm doing here. And so in the beginning, it was just kind of like, oh, let me just do this and get the attention and see what happens. Because I'd started a couple of Twitters before. And then I did do an OnlyFans. And then I was like, you know what? I just can't keep up with this. It's like too much work. And I felt bad because I was charging people money and they were just expecting all this stuff. But I was like, I can only do it like once a week. So I was like, this isn't for me.
That's the thing.
It's a full-time gig for real.
It definitely can be. For me, when I was on the road trip, I didn't have a 9-to-5 or Monday to Friday. So like, all right, if I spend a couple hours every few days editing and uploading, worth it, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's how I feel about social media now. Like I try to, I'm so busy because I have a 9-to-5. So on the weekends, I try to be like, hey, like, here's as much content as I possibly can to satisfy, like, the entire week until I can do it again. So you kind of really have to plan it. It really is, like, a business. And the people that are really successful, like, Zaddy Problems and, like, other people that have, like, so many K followers, you could tell they have, like, a niche for it. Like, they're passionate.
Well, to be inclined towards it and understand the beast.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, it's a business. Like, I know a few guys who've quit their day jobs and are pulling, like, 10K off fan sites. And, hey, like that's great. That's the dream, you know?
Yeah, you do you.
Or it's a dream.
That's true. It's a lucrative, fun dream. So, like, I tried to sell it. Like, listen, if you're sexy, if you feel sexy and you like to show off, then you know, get on Twitter. But for me, I started to realize the benefits of Twitter when I started meeting more solo sexuals, like all over the world. And that was where really the need came from. I was like, God, I feel so alone in my solo sexuality. And the people in the closest vicinity towards me in Los Angeles just really weren't getting it. And so I thought, where the fuck do I go? And so then I took to Twitter and social media. And I don't know why I waited so long. That's where everyone lives.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is like the money. Like, that's why I'm always encouraging, like, bros, get online. Like, social media is like the new made way people.
Yeah, when you find your tribe online, it can be really nice and comforting and a source of just a great source to enjoy it.
Yeah. Do you find like you meet a lot of people on there, like just making friends all over the world?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, people who reach out, people who are nice, people who want to meet up. Because for me, back in the day, Twitter was, yes, a moneymaker with the OnlyFans and all that, but also a socializing aspect. And like, yeah, let's go back to Zaddy Problems in Detroit. I met him through Twitter. We just started chatting on Twitter. I told him I'm coming over to town. We met up. Yeah, we had sex. It was great sex. But we also spent like 3 or 4 hours just shooting the shit and chatting and smoking and having a good time.
Yeah.
And yeah, and like a lot of people like that. Seattle Dad.
Oh yeah, yeah, Seattle Dad.
Like we have great friendships now that I'm super fortunate and happy to have, and that's all thanks to Twitter and just finding like-minded people on it.
Because I feel like for me, the benefits of like Just for Fans and OnlyFans has been that essentially what you're doing is you're watching real people. Right, like so, like when I was growing up, like I would watch studios like Chichi LaRue and Raging Stallion, and you have like these, it was kind of like this unobtainable like porn fantasy person that you were just like, oh, that's I can never be that, or I can never be like that, I can never talk to that. But then OnlyFans and Just for Fans came around, and you're just like, yo, that's like the dude I went to high school with.
Well, I mean, the nice thing about OnlyFans is that it has that. Fortunately, I mean, everyone can have an OnlyFans, obviously. Big porn studio guys having their own OnlyFans or Just for Fans or whatever. To me, kind of took away from the point of this is a more amateur side. This is for what you were saying, like the guy you went to high school with. But I mean, everyone can choose what they go for, but it goes back to the oversaturation of it as well. Yeah, it's great that it exists so easily now.
Yeah.
And anyone who wants to take their dick out and make a buck off it can.
Yeah, that's true. And it gives you agency. Like, you take back your power. You're just like, hey, listen, like, I might not be like some buff, white, like blue, blonde eyed, like muscle star, but I look like this and this is valid. And here's my
dick. Yeah. And that's how I always felt. Like, I'm not buff. I'm not the biggest. I'm not the hairiest. I'm not anything of the most. But hey, like, I was top 10 earnings in OnlyFans. Not that it means anything, obviously, but like, it can be done.
But there's recognition. So the point is that, like, you being visible in porn, like, that's like an advancement in porn amateur culture. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't look like typical porn stars, but we're out here navigating this space, interacting with people and having like a really sexy conversation. Do you take responsibility for changing, trying to change that narrative in porn, or is it just something that you just love to do?
I mean, yes and no. I don't want to take any position in it. I just want to do my thing, but I'm also aware that any action has a reaction.
Sure.
And obviously putting myself out there affects other people who see it. But I shy away from taking any responsibilities. I don't want that on my shoulders. I'm just here for a good time. But at the same time, if people contact me and have questions, I'm usually very happy to answer and help, stuff like that. But I don't want to take a big position in the community or the industry or anything like that.
That's fine. But I feel like for me, and I'll speak for myself, like, not that I willingly took on the responsibility of being like, hey, like, I'm going to promote myself and people like me can, you know, can see me and, you know, find their own sexy way of communicating that to the world. But I'm curious to know, like, what those conversations are like with you. Like, when someone that looks like you contacts you and it's like, hey, thank you for showing up and showing out because now I feel validated in my own sexiness. Do you find that empowering?
Absolutely. It's a really good feeling. And that's one of the reasons I keep at the Twitter. Yeah. It is hard for me to keep the Twitter active. I'm not a fan of social media. I don't have other social medias.
We weren't going to talk about that. No, I'm kidding.
And knowing that people not only enjoy what I create, but it helps them get through a day. It helps me get through my day as well, obviously. But the fact that people really do see themselves in it and we can all feel a little bit better about ourselves is great. And it's a good feeling. So I keep it.
Yeah, because I feel like as a viewer, when I see you, I'm just like, oh, that's so different. And this has been a training process for me because I feel like growing up and being saturated by like this muscle porn, like I've had to unlearn all that stuff. So when I see people like you being like, and even like, you know, on the topic Zaddy problems, like he's always commenting about like his weight and his appearance. And I'm just like, bro, you're good. And so, like, I'm always trying to be like, we don't have to continuously talk about our appearance. Like, just the fact that we're showing up in this space is enough. Like, no, I'm not complaining.
Well, but also when you turn on Twitter, you're again exposed to also to our bodies, but also to all the other bodies, and it's hard to shut off.
Sure,
and the algorithm sucks.
I know.
And seeing what everyone else likes is sometimes super annoying. it goes hand in hand, you know, like I tried to curate my feed to be more body positive and more inclusive and what I want to see.
Yeah.
But somehow it seeps through.
I think also too, like unconsciously, it was a need. Like I was just like, you know what? Like going through porn one day and I was like, well, what the fuck? Like there's no one out here that really looks like me. And I was like, okay, well then fucking be proactive about it and like show up, right?
Yeah. Yeah. What so, you like, send out to the world comes back at you, you know?
Yeah. And that's, you know, that, and I felt like that too. And when I first started it, I've had this conversation before, like I felt like I was missing them. Well, it was fun in the beginning and then like a couple of months into it, I was like, I feel like I'm really missing the mark here. And it wasn't like, I wasn't communicating effectively what I was trying to show out to the world. And so I really had to quickly change the narrative of what my social media brand could be or what it was. And now I feel like I'm in a much better place because I feel like I'm being more sex positive because I don't call myself a porn star, I call myself a sex content creator, which feels more in line and authentic to me.
Yeah, no, and you're using your social media as a tool to get yes. out there and put your voice out there. And like this podcast is a great example of what you can promote through social media.
Yeah.
For me, social media was advertisements for OnlyFans.
Yeah.
On the road trip, it was a big part of my monthly income, so I relied on it.
Yeah.
And it was fun.
Yeah.
And now, in the last year with COVID and all that, I'm kind of lost with what I want to do with my Twitter.
Mm.
So I'm not as active. Like, I don't have the app on my phone. I only go through the browser.
Okay.
And I have to kind of limit my time on it. I'm still soul searching on what I want to do with it and where I want to go with it.
Yeah. I mean, also, too, like, I don't feel like we need to have the pressure of it. I mean, I feel like it constantly changes. And it could be whatever you need it to be at a certain point. Like, you don't always have, yeah. to be a porn star. You can be, like, you can do, like, sex artwork and, like, you know, sex writing. And that's how, I feel like that's how I've taken the pressure off of myself. Like, it just constantly changes. I change every day. So, like, my work and my social media can change constantly, too.
Yeah, and I'm... In the past, I would not post anything that's not porn.
Okay.
And now I'm getting very comfortable and I'm excited to post raccoon pictures. And this raccoon page I follow is the best. So I just like that. Or leftist politics here and there, which I'm always amazed at whatever I post that gets political.
Yeah,
I will lose followers constantly for it.
Which is fine.
I'm like, if you don't want it, don't be here. I get it. If you just want porn, which is what a lot of people want with their alt accounts and all that, cool, get it. But this is my only account, so it's a lot more than just porn.
Yeah, for sure. So, let me ask you that. Like, how are you doing... How are you keeping sane and healthy during time of COVID? What's your process?
I masturbate a lot.
Yes. Now we're getting to the real good stuff. I love masturbation.
When I got the stimulus check back in April or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I got my first vibrator.
Yes.
And I went all out. I got two of them together. The Hush and Lush by Lovin's, the remote controlled ones.
Yeah, I think I want to get me one of those.
They were one of the best investments I made in a long time.
Well, that's really good. I mean, it's difficult to be close to COVID. And I feel like, I'm not going to call it a blessing, but I feel like COVID came like a really good time for me because it really has kept me more inward for sure. Like I was already on this like soul sexual journey of like, okay, like I love masturbation. I feel like I'm a soul sexual. I am a soul sexual. What does that mean to me? And then once I was able to really focus inward and discover and how that really resonates to me, I was then able to then give that information out. Hence this podcast.
Yeah.
Do you feel the same? Kind of, sort of?
Yes. I mean, COVID is obviously a terrible time, but also brought a lot of good stuff and just allowed myself and others to reevaluate, check things, restart maybe, kind of pause and restart. For me, it's so interesting. masturbation used to be a failure, especially living in New York, where you can basically walk down the street and hook up with someone.
Yeah.
If I found myself jerking off to go to sleep, that meant I didn't get laid.
Interesting.
And not optimal.
Like it was the last choice.
It was the last choice. It was like, all right, no one's coming up. No one's, there are no options tonight. I guess I'll jerk off.
Mm.
Fine. It was obviously great. Like I do it a lot.
Sure.
But with COVID, all of a sudden it became the best option, the safe option, the preferred option.
Yeah.
And taking that and running with that has been a lot of fun.
how have you been able to change the narrative? I don't think you consider masturbation a failure anymore, right?
No. And like failure is an exaggeration. It's just like,
no, I understand.
Not the first choice of mine used to be. Not the first choice.
Yeah.
And now it's obviously the first choice. It's usually the only choice, but I'm happy with it.
Yeah.
You know.
I feel like that takes practice, yeah.
Yeah.
And practice. I think, yeah.
just playing with your dick. It feels good. And especially now it's safe. I still get anxious sometimes when I'm around people days if they're not wearing a mask or they're being stupid and people I don't necessarily trust their judgments.
Mm-hmm.
So just playing with myself or playing with friends who control the vibrator in my butt. Just video chatting with someone, popper baiting. Like, it's all just a lot of fun. And I live out in the country, rural.
Yeah.
So, and there's no bars, there's no restaurants, there's no big adventures to go on the evening here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, why not jerk off for 2 hours?
So how do you satisfy that need with someone else? Like, where do you find these other people to masturbate with?
Say that again?
How do you find these other men to masturbate with? What are your
outlets? Through Twitter.
Okay.
Some just friends and people I know from life. Yeah. The Lovin's app can connect you with people.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, there's...
So then would you consider... Are you comfortable adopting the... identity as solo sexual or baiter? Do you feel that resonates with you?
Not solo sexual, no.
Okay.
Baiter for sure. Mm. Though I don't necessarily like performing as a baiter. I think I get a bit too self-conscious.
Like just masturbating by yourself?
Yeah, it's something that I was never fully comfortable at. Like for me, porn was my niche in porn, if you want to call it that, was blowjobs.
Okay.
And self-masturbation was just not necessarily what I wanted to put out there, what I felt comfortable putting out there, or what I wanted, honestly. So I just never really did. Here and there I posted stuff like that, obviously, but it's not my forte.
Yeah.
So now when I'm baiting, it's for myself. It's for my enjoyment. If a friend is playing with me, then it's fine, but it's not a performance.
Got it. So when you have, like, when you go forth and have sex with, other people, it's not primarily masturbation focused. Like you're into sex. Like you're down to get time to fuck.
Well, not even like, again, like primarily blowjobs are what I want to do half the time.
Yeah.
I don't need anal necessarily. I prefer not going on anal sometimes, doing anal. So, but I have had jerk off sessions. I've actually had baiting people that I met up with who got slightly annoyed with me because I just wanted to suck their dick.
Yeah, I always feel like that's a tricky thing.
I try respecting it, but I also know what I want, and I try expressing that. I'm happy to combine. But yeah, especially if I'm meeting up with someone, I'll usually need more than jerking off with him.
Well, what's that conversation like for you?
Can I suck your dick?
But I, like, I'm just curious to know, like, when you, I know there's a process. There's not just kind of like this thing that just, or maybe it just happens with you. I don't know. People are different. But for me, I typically, since I am soul sexual and I am a baiter,
yeah,
I have to really communicate those things beforehand, because I think the assumption always is that there's going to be penetration sex involved, right? And there can be, it may not be anal, it could be oral, but I think
so the way you are with solo sexualism and Bader, I'm with oral, I think, kind of similar.
Yeah.
And I need to clarify to guys that, no, I don't want to get fucked. No, I don't want to fuck them.
Got it.
I want to blow them. I don't necessarily want them to blow me.
Yeah.
I want to blow them. And yeah, that's sometimes a deal breaker.
Yeah.
Because that's not what they want. And then I don't want it. Like, if they don't want a blowjob and just a blowjob, I'm not going to meet up. So, when that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. That's you, you know, a whole.
Yeah, it's a conversation. It's.
Yeah.
You have to have it to have good sex.
Well, yeah, the reason I bring it up, because it's so different for solo sexuals and baiters, since our primary form of sex is masturbation, is that we really have to really begin to have these conversations, because we're not into penetrative sex.
Right, right. It's a and whole so, other almost.
But it's a skill that we have to learn. Yeah, so it's an additional skill we have to learn. And I get a lot of like soul sexual and bait brothers saying, oh God, it's so difficult. Like, I can't find anyone. Like, people always want to do these things that I don't want to do. And that's why I'm always asking, like, well, what are you talking about? Like, what are the questions are you asking? What's the conversation being had? Because it's different for us. You might not want it to be, but it is, because now we have to really share who we are and have that conversation and make sure that the other person is on board with that before anything engages. Because then if they're not, it's an opportunity for people to get disappointed and let down, which is what we don't want to do.
Right, right. It's always...
We want to be as sex positive as possible.
Right, and not to kink shame and not to say like, oh, that's gross or not. It's just like, some things are for me, some things are not for me, especially at the moment. I don't always want everything. Yeah. But I think COVID times are definitely kind of easier for solo sexuals.
Totally. Absolutely.
And I've started to go down that route of just, yeah, enjoying sex with myself and being satisfied with that. And it's been great.
What have you learned? Have you learned a lot about yourself through masturbation and like having this solo sex?
Yeah, you know, the more you explore and the more you play with yourself, and like with back in the day when jerking off was a failure to me, I jerked off in a couple minutes just to come and go to sleep.
Mm.
But now it's ongoing. The motivation is just to have fun. I play with my body a lot more, not just my dick.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just been a lot more fun. And I think for solo sexuals, it's, you guys can teach us these days a lot more.
No, that's great that you say that, because I think it's so important for people to, or solo sexuals and masturbators, to really understand that concept of like self-sex and self-exploration. Like you said, like it was just this thing that you used to do just to get off and go to sleep. But now that you have all this time and you're not able to really engage with other people, now you're bringing all this really good attention to yourself and to your body. Like I've definitely learned so much about myself. I just wrote an article about this new breathing exercise that I learned in sex coach training. And I do it in front of my mirror. Like I do it, I will do it butt ass naked, and I will look at every fucking thing about my body, and I will learn. Like I make it a point to sit here and say to myself, you will not leave this space and you will not stop looking at yourself until you are fully aroused and into your body and into yourself. And I think baiters are just like, oh, it's just naturally going to happen. But if you don't put in the work, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So I'm always trying to stress that point to people, like, hey, this didn't come naturally for me either. This has been a learning process and we're learning together. And here I am offering information in hopes that it's positive and you can change it and put into your life. But you got to put in the time, man.
Got to put in the time.
It's true. Because if I don't know, it's totally worth it. I think it's worth it.
Yeah, invest in yourself.
Because I feel like growing up, like I just felt like it wasn't sexy. And I was having to go out there and like gain people's fucking validations of like, oh, like you, but you are sexy. And it's like those things would never come. Those things were few and far between, you know? And in the time that I had to wait for someone to fucking validate my sex, I could be doing that shit like all fucking night. You know what I'm saying?
And it's so funny how all of our insecurities are so ill-informed. Like, to those who don't know, you have a larger penis.
Yes.
And to me, that's always like, oh, yeah, like, he's got it. Like, he doesn't need necessarily the muscle body, you know? But, so to me, that was always an inadequacy or something I was self-conscious about, just being average. Mm. But hearing other people who have big dicks or great bodies or whatever, and they're insecure about other things, it's just a good perspective to life that we all have something that we're not 100% with.
But what's your masturbation practice like? I ask that question because I always tell brothers, practice, like it really is like someone on Snapchat snapped me the other day and was just like, I metabate myself. Is that so clever?
Yeah.
Do you metabate?
I don't know. It really depends. I mean, again, sometimes it's just something to do as a wake up ritual or go to sleep ritual, and then it's not too involved. Often these days it's a come back home from work, relax, and get into it. And sometimes it's with a vibrator, sometimes it's with a jerk sleeve, sometimes it's with nothing, just myself.
So do you do it daily?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Twice.
Yeah. Nice.
A normal day is when I wake up and when I, in the night.
Okay. Yeah. That
if
seems.
The day off where I'm not working, it can be 3, 4, 5 times.
Yeah. Is it fully immersive or is it just like whip out your dick and get it done?
Each time's a different story.
Depends.
Yeah. Sometimes it can just be like scrolling through Twitter. I'll get horny from a video and start jerking off. I'll come or I won't come. But if I'm like fully at it, it's fun.
Yeah.
The intent is just to enjoy myself, enjoy my dick, enjoy porn, see what's new.
Yeah, no, that's so sexy. And I feel like I do the same too. Like I the last couple of weeks have been pretty hard. I was dealing with some bullshit and I literally could not masturbate. I was just like, I'm just done. Like, I can't do this. And then when I came back to it, I was just like, holy fuck.
Yeah. And when you find like, for me, one of the funnest things when I go on like a big jerk off session is popper baiting.
Yeah. I love popper baiting.
And like with good poppers and good weed, if you have DMT at home and you know how to enjoy it, I highly recommend that combo.
Wait, what is it, the DMT?
DMT.
What's that?
It's a hallucinogenic, but a really mild one that lasts a couple minutes.
Oh, nice.
If you've heard of like licking the frog and stuff like that.
Yeah, we'll talk later.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's a good time. It's
yeah, no, it is fun. But I think the reason I'm asking because I really want like bros to know like it can be like a really fun, full, immersive experience. Like it shouldn't just, I mean, it could be like whatever, like you said, like it could be like this thing where you get horny. Just
it can and should be whatever you want it to be. Yeah. And sometimes you just want to get off and sometimes you don't want to get off and you can keep going. I've stopped in the middle and made a sandwich, watched an episode, went back to it. Like, fuck it. I'm not in a hurry.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's your body. Like you have this dick attached to you so you can basically just whip it out at any moment. Like you don't have to rely on other people to stimulate. You can just stimulate yourself. And I think that's always like the power I'm trying to communicate. I'm just like, bro, like I get it. You're fucking horny. Take care of it now. Take care of it, dude. We're all supporting you, bro. Yeah. We're all rooting for you. Get it done.
And it took COVID for me to really internalize that message.
And that's great. Do you think that you'll keep up your bait practice after COVID's, you know, hopefully when it's over, when we get a vaccine, and we go back to more social life?
I mean, I miss sucking dick. I miss gangbangs. I miss hanging out with dudes. But I don't think I'll ever look at jerking off as the last resort. Or something that I need to refrain from to stay horny. Or to have a bigger load when I meet a dude, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. If I want to do it, I'll do it. I don't need to have any hangups about it.
Because now it's like part of the menu.
Yeah. It's always been, but it's always been like the last page in small letters.
What is it now? Like up by the appetizers?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah.
It's like before the appetizers, it's the drinks you get at the beginning.
I love a good drink.
Right.
So you say like you're in rural, you're living in like a rural area of how like, and I see like you post on Twitter, you're always going like on these really great adventures outdoors and stuff and getting naked. Do you love that?
I love it.
That's something I want to start to explore. I don't really do that enough. Like, I don't really masturbate in public and in nature. And it's something that I really, really want to get into.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it a lot, a lot.
Why? What's that feeling like for you?
It really combines two of my favorite things, which are the great outdoors and sex.
That's it.
Yeah. I mean, it's that simple, really. Like, obviously, the thrill of maybe getting caught and getting that is a part to it. Not really to me. It's not that big a deal. Yeah. It's just really enjoying these two awesome things that we can do together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if it's a great spot with a gorgeous view with a great dick by me or my own dick, yeah, I'm gonna have fun.
That's cool. I feel like
in a respectable way, and I'm not gonna do it in front of like kids and families. I'll find a little waterfall to the side. I try being smart about that and like
I always tell my brothers, I was like, hey, listen, if you're gonna go out and do some stuff, let's just use our best judgment. Not everyone's willing and ready to see what we gotta display. You gotta like kind of choose and pick where you're gonna show all this stuff to. But
yeah, and there's definitely been places that not been destroyed, but especially with the rise of OnlyFans and everyone making videos everywhere, people kind of push the boundaries sometimes and do things that they shouldn't maybe do in public in a very not safe place. Yeah. And if they get caught or when they get caught, it affects all of us.
Yeah.
Right? So there's some safer spaces and gay nude beaches around the country that you can get away with doing stuff in public. Yeah. If you keep it in a certain space.
Yeah.
You know, like behind that dune, behind that tree, behind that whatever, up the hedges.
Yeah.
And people spill out of that sometimes. And I'm just like, the last thing we need is more cops patrolling because some people complained that they saw two guys fucking.
Yeah.
You know, we all need to be a bit smarter about it.
When they should be complaining about the guy and the girl fucking. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, well, I mean, the gays are just more bold.
Yeah, because, yeah. Because we are. I don't go. Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with that. I'm pretty proud of that.
Yeah. No, it's. Yeah.
Do you consider yourself gay?
Yeah.
So I asked that question because I feel like I'm at a point in my life where like sexual orientation is kind of like fading for me. Like I don't really resonate with that title anymore because I interact a lot with a lot of bisexual and married straight baiters. And so I'm always just kind of, they're always asking, like, oh, are you into this or into that? And I'm just like, bro, I'm into whatever you're into. Like, if it turns you on and I like it, I'm going to be turned on myself.
Well, yeah, I can totally relate to that, but I still consider myself gay because I consider myself a man, a male.
Sure.
And I'm attracted to the male body in all its forms, regardless really of genitalia.
Yeah.
If it has hair on it, I'm into it usually.
Yeah, I hear that. That's cool. I don't know. Yeah, it's just something that I'm like toying around with. I've gotten different responses from that conversation. It's kind of a heated topic, but I don't know. I kind of find that where I am right now. I mean, I do enjoy men. I enjoy dudes. Like, I totally get off on it, but I don't know. I find myself being attracted to like a lot of street porn right now. It's good times.
I mean, like, if the dick in the gay in the straight porn is good, I'll do it, but I'll be there for the dude, you know?
You ain't looking at the chick.
I won't look too much at the chick, no.
That's cool.
Unless if she has a nice jawline. No.
Unless her contour is on point. You're like, yes, yeah, bitch. Work that fucking look. No, I'm kidding.
Maybe it's a hung drag queen. That could be fun.
Oh, yeah. That'd be cool, too.
I'd watch that.
Yeah. What kind of porn are you into?
All of it.
Are you really?
Mostly.
Okay. Is there something that you used to, that you never really liked that you're into now? Maybe because you started watching more of it?
Well, baiting. Jerking off, watching other people jerk off,
yeah,
was always just not for me.
Yeah,
in terms of viewing porn.
Yeah,
but lately,
well, how's that changed?
Yeah,
how's that changed?
It's all changed, and like going on Chatterbait. Yeah, and just watching guys stroke or hang out, watching videos that concentrate on that more. It's been interesting. Yeah, porn taste definitely evolved.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad because I feel like my. But again, it was things that I had to like teach myself how to train myself to do. Like, I was so caught up with, like, watching a certain type of porn. And then I was just like, why the fuck am I so involved in this fucking
look? 100%. Aesthetic.
100%. And what I found, too, by watching myself. I'm sure you do it, too. Do you get off on watching yourself have sex?
No.
Really?
I don't.
Why is that?
I find it kind of... It's not for me to watch myself. I don't know.
That's so funny. I tell my friend, and she's like, it's a little Norman Bates.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I think for me personally, like watching myself is normalizing and empowering myself as a sexual human, which I could never do that to myself when I was in my early 20s, and I totally do it now, because what I'm doing is like, oh, there's a guy that looks like me, that doesn't have the perfect body, that has hair on his body, that has stretch marks, that is hairy, that is like all these different things, and I'm just like, oh, that's fucking sexy. So then when I look for my porn, I start to look for people that look like me, because that turns me on now. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I kind of do the same. I just don't want to look at myself like that. I mean, like, I do consider myself very sexual and very out there, and that's fine with me.
Mm-hmm.
But I Yeah, no, I don't know, to sum it up, I don't jerk off to my own stuff. It's for others to enjoy.
Yeah, that's cool.
But I will seek out similar stuff, which is interesting, I guess.
What do you mean similar stuff?
Similar people, similar body types.
Oh, people that look like you. Attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I do that too now. I find myself like really... Yeah. I find myself really gravitating more towards like amateur porn, for sure. Like, I'm a big fan. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of like OnlyFans and Just for Fans, because people are just, again, people are taking back control and power and dictating what they themselves want to see. They're not waiting on someone to be like, oh yeah, you should be in porn. No, fuck you, bitch. Like, if I want to be in porn, here's my dick. I love
porn. Yeah, absolutely.
And then you just make it happen.
Yeah.
What's the future hold for you in terms of your porn career? Are you still, do you consider yourself still doing porn? Is that something you still want to do?
No.
Okay. That's cool. I mean, you're still active. I feel like you're still active on Twitter a little bit, right?
I'm active on Twitter. It's mostly old pictures and videos because I don't really hook up these days a lot.
Yeah.
Or at all, mostly.
Would you be inclined to like show off just your solo sex? I think people would really be interested in seeing that. That could be hot.
I think there's people would want it, probably.
Yeah.
For me, and that's the problem why I don't want to continue going on with porn too much, is that the pressure of a camera or showing off and thinking about it is sometimes not worth it for me.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of trying to separate that from my sex life these days, and not everything needs to be recorded and not everything needs to be put out there. Yeah, because the pressure that comes with it, I find to not be the most healthy for me sometimes. And for partners, like guys I whip out the camera with, and they say they're okay with it, I obviously always ask. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it gets to their head and they can't stay hard, or they can't come, or they get too preoccupied with angles and you lose the moment.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely trying to just more enjoy my time, not put a camera in everything.
I'd be more in the moment.
Yeah, and there's plenty of porn out there without my own.
Yeah, totally. I always stress that sometimes too. I'm just like, hey, sometimes it's just for you, man. Like, I don't show all of my baiting, the things that I do online. Like, I keep a lot of that stuff to myself because it makes me feel sexy.
Yeah, no, I'll snap some pictures, or I love doing bounce live photos.
Yeah, those
are cool. When I say, that's always a good time. Sometimes I'll post it, sometimes not. Sometimes I'll share it with friends, sometimes I won't.
Yeah.
It's really whatever I want to make with it. But what the future holds for me is, by the time I'm 40, I want to have my own queer clothing optional campground.
Whoa, that's cool.
Yeah.
So it'll be like a resort, like a hotel kind of thing?
Less hotel, more campgrounds. So tents, RVs, some permanent buildings, but not much.
Sick, like by a river or a lake.
Yes, a body of water needs to happen.
Yeah.
A nice foresty area needs to be there for cruising.
Yeah, and people could just like walk around naked in like Birkenstocks.
Yeah.
That's hot. I have this fantasy of like walking through the wilderness, either in flip-flops or Birkenstocks, and just like going at it. There's something really sexy about like doing it in sandals in nature.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. It's a lot, and like these places exist, these gay campgrounds around the country, and they're great, and I'm very fortunate to have visited a few.
Yeah,
and I want to keep doing it, and I want to have my own one day, so everyone should come.
Well, I'm definitely going to be there.
Yeah, you should come to Yosemite now.
Yeah, I will. I'm going to make a trip out there for sure. Then you're going to show me around and we can go jerk off in the woods.
Yes.
Perfect.
Can I suck your dick, though?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. I mean, I really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you
this
so
was
much.
Great.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on the Betascape. I'm always looking for really fun, sexy brothers to come on here and share their experiences so other brothers can relate to it and we can all have like this community of like sex positivity within masturbation and solo sexual.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. I think it's a really great service for the community.
Oh, thanks so much. I really like it. I'm having a really great time. So as long as it keeps me happy, I'm going to continue to do it for sure.
Awesome.
Okay, cool. So thanks so much. Again, you can catch the Kosher Pig on Twitter, and your handle is?
_kosher_pig.
Perfect.
Because Kosher Pig was taken, but he's a really nice dude. We actually follow each other. He lives in Israel, and we kind of keep in touch sometimes.
I love it. I love your Twitter handle.
I like it. It's a persona for sure.
Yeah, it's perfect. And you can follow me on social media. Again, my handle is BeastlyBater. Just look for it. You'll find it. Again, thanks so much, Kosher Pig, for joining me. And I'm going to see you on Twitter. And
you'll see me in real life soon, eventually. Wear your mask.
Perfect. I always will. All right, bros. See you later on the next episode.
Bye.